I was trying to answer a question some people had about the beast, you know. But in 2 John, you wonder where people get their idea about the Antichrist and who he is, you know. Because we'll look at 3 verses here about the Antichrist, and it does tell you who he is. It's just that you can't in any way imagine where they got their idea from. Second John, verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers," notice that, underline that in your mind, "many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh." This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. The Antichrist, notice, verse 7, is many deceivers. Does anybody have a translation that's different from that?
Yeah. This is a deceiver and
Antichrist. Okay, but whoever, however it says that, it does make it clear that it is the many deceivers, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, in 1 John 4, in verse 1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets," underline that in your mind, many false prophets, plural, "are gone forth into the world." They went out into the world. Notice that too. These false prophets are gone out into the world. In other words, they went out from among them and went into the world. Okay?
Where are we?
4 and 1. 1 John 4 and 1. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist." Or maybe Joyce says an Antichrist, right? An Antichrist.
Of Antichrist.
Of Antichrist, okay. But notice what the spirit of Antichrist is. It's every spirit that confesseth not Jesus. On up a little farther, it talks about many false prophets, plural. So whoever Antichrist is, he is many. "The spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already." So whoever he is, he was in the world back then, right? He was, and still is. And always has been, frankly. "You are of God, little children, and you and have overcome them." Notice that. Them. Whoever Antichrist is, it's of them. Them being the false prophets and the spirits that confess not Jesus. Okay? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Okay? Okay, the one that is in the world. But at any rate, the one that is in us is in many of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that is in the world is in many of them.
Yeah.
And it says, "You have overcome them," right? They're of the world. Therefore speak they as of the world. Yeah. "And of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God," so on and so forth. It's very plain, if you look at the text, that the Antichrist, or Antichrist, or just Antichrist, is obviously a group of people. From understanding that, you can probably understand 1 John 2 and 18. It says, "Little children, it's the last hour, and as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many Antichrists. Whereby we know it is the last hour. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they are not all of us. Okay? Notice too, Antichrist went out from among the people of God. They were an apostate group, you know. Now, I'm not sure that some of the Antichrists may have never known God. But the point is, they're in a Christian religion that is apostate. And they teach a doctrine that is apostate. And I think that identifies the Antichrist. Not only that, it identifies them with false prophets. Right? Back in 1 John 4, we notice that. False prophets. The deceivers. Many deceivers. Many false prophets who have gone out from among us. Okay? All that identifies who Antichrist is. Look at Revelation chapter 13. Now, I don't know how the traditions of men came up with this, but there's two beasts in Revelation 13. There's the first beast having the seven heads and the ten horns. And there's a second beast that came up out of the earth too in verse 11. The tradition says that the first beast is the Antichrist. But yet, as you study the first beast, you find out that he is of the world. He doesn't necessarily profess religion, you know. But the second beast is definitely a false prophet. In in Revelation 19, it groups the three. It says the beast and the false prophet. Well, at least those two. It separates the first beast and the false prophet. Okay, Revelation 19 and 20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought the signs in his sight. So he separates the beast and the false prophet. Now we read in 1 John 4 that the false prophets are Antichrist. They are the Antichrist. Not the first beast, not the beast, but the false prophet is the Antichrist. You know, anti has a double meaning. I even looked it up in the vines, and it can mean against, but it can also mean someone who takes the place of. And it can mean both of those. Somebody who is against Christ or takes the place of Christ. You know, a lot of false prophets, they don't profess, they don't prophesy, but they don't speak in the name of the Lord. And they don't, they take the place of Christ. Many of the false prophets, if you can imagine in John's day, if there was many false prophets, many deceivers that went out from among them, how many there is in our day?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just imagine, you know. But one of the common things I've seen about Antichrist is he takes the place of God. I'm talking about deceivers or false prophets, people who teach a doctrine that wasn't taught by Jesus, you know. They take the place of God in ways that get people to depending upon them as being the Savior, or depending upon them for guidance rather than the Holy Spirit, or depending upon them, or looking up to them in worship, in ways of worship, you know. They take the place of God. Not proclaiming themselves to be God, but they take the place of God. But verse 11, Revelation 13:11, it says, "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb." And a lamb, of course, represents the people of God, doesn't it? But he has two horns like unto a lamb. I felt like the Lord has shown me that these two horns are Protestantism and Catholicism. But that's left open to your understanding. But he spake as a dragon. He spake as the first beast mentioned in Revelation 12. The dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he maketh the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose death stroke was healed. And he doeth great signs, that he should even make fire come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs which it was given him to do in the sight of the beast. They were called wonders of falsehood in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that the son of perdition worked wonders of falsehood. Now, I don't know whether that meant that the wonders were false or whether they were giving a false sign. Maybe they weren't even real, you know. Maybe they were fake, you know. Or maybe they were real, but they were giving a false sign. But anyway, this false prophet worked signs in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast who hath the stroke of the sword and live. The beast, the head of the beast that had the stroke of the sword and lived was Rome. It died and is being resurrected at this time. But that they should make an image to the beast. This false prophet, which is those false prophets and deceivers who are apostate to Christianity, are preaching to make an image of the beast. You see that? Hey, you say, well, is that literal or spiritual? Well, I know it's spiritual. It may be literal, but I don't think that's the real important thing to us. I think the important thing is, what does it mean spiritually? Okay? Jesus preached in order to create an image in people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it talks about us coming into the image of Christ from glory to glory. Us being the image of Christ. Beholding as in a mirror, you know? Coming into the same image from glory to glory. Coming into the image of Christ. Okay? But this is the image of the beast. And this image, the false prophet, is created in people. You know that the northern 10 tribes of Israel created the image of a beast. Remember to set up the two golden calves, you know? Because they were afraid that the 10 tribes would go to Jerusalem and worship, and then they would lose their following there. So they created the golden calves, the two images of the beast. Another thing we were talking about a while ago, why do churches make people or create in people the same image as the people that are doing the preaching? It's like there's a spirit. It's in what people speak and what they do. It goes on to say here that they should make an image to the beast who hath the stroke of the sword and live. And it was given to her, literally. I know you may not understand that, but this beast has a body. Just as Christ had a body, and that body is a her. We're one man in Christ, but we are her. We are his bride, his body, okay? Literally here in verse 15, numerically, it says, and it was given to her. Boy, that throws a kink in some of them, doesn't it? It was given to her. The same person he calls a he back in verse 11, or verse 12, he calls a her here.
Don't they call the church a she?
Yes. Meaning, and the church is the body of Christ, who is the spirit that dwells in him, right? Here, it was given to her to give spirit to the image of the beast. If we're not receiving the word of God, how can we grow in the image of Christ? Because he is the word of God. He is the seed that's being sown in our heart to recreate Christ in our heart, the image of God, right? Christ is the image of God. He's being recreated in our heart by ministers who speak the word of God. But a false prophet can also create an image in a body. Just as God is in the business of recreating the image of Christ in the true believers, Babylon is also having an image imprinted in their hearts, in their minds. And it is by the false prophet who is sowing a seed, which is a spirit. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about receiving another spirit, another gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we did not preach, or if you receive a different spirit." 2 Corinthians 11:4. If you preach another Jesus, you receive a different spirit. You see that? "Which we did not receive, or a different gospel which we did not accept. Do ye well to bear with him?" So there are those false prophets, deceivers, who went out from among us, who are going out from among us even now, who are preaching another Jesus, and therefore the people are receiving a different spirit. This false prophet in Revelation 13 was sowing a spirit, giving life to an image inside a body. It was a false Jesus, it was a false gospel, but it was also a false body. Because what we're talking about is Babylon. Babylon receives a false image of Christ. Like the northern 10 tribes set up those two calves and worship them, rather than worshiping in Jerusalem where Judah did. Judah worshiped in Jerusalem. At that time they had not apostatized, but the northern 10 tribes did apostatize. In Revelation chapter 3, in Daniel chapter 3, there was an image of a beast that Nebuchadnezzar had seen, that Nebuchadnezzar recreated and set up in the plain of Dura, which means circle, and I think it means the earth, okay, in Babylon, in the middle of Babylon. He created this image and set it up. And people worship that image. You see the parallel here? In Babylon is where this image is being set up. It's being set up by the false prophet, by the Antichrist. You know, if you will.
We're talking about a perfect spiritual and physical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Parallel.
You know the. And by the way, in Daniel chapter 3, who was it that was commanding the people to worship the image of the beast? No. There's one word over there that they borrowed from the Greek Empire before the Greek was even a very big empire. It was the word herald, and it was preacher. It's the same word used in the New Testament for preacher. The preacher called out to the people. When you hear the sound of the cornet, the sackbut, the harp, so on and so forth, fall down and worship the image of the beast. The preacher in Daniel chapter 3 was the one who was causing people to worship the image of the beast.
Just like today.
Just like today. I mean, this is a perfect parallel. The verses in Daniel 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. The word herald there is a Greek word. Strange. I mean, this is long before the Greek people were even very influential. It was long before the Greek Empire. But they borrowed one word and stuck it in the middle there, and it was a Greek word meaning preacher, so that we could understand who they're talking about. You know? And it was all peoples, by the way. Verse 7, all the peoples, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And when you go back and look at the golden image, you see that it's an image of a golden head, which he explained is Babylon, and The Medes and the Persians, the Grecians, and the and then the Romans was the fourth one, the iron. And it went on down to the toes, which were iron and clay. And in verse 44 he says, "And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." That's 2 and 44. "Nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms." God's kingdom is going to destroy the end time kingdom of this beast, which is the ten toes, which he says are the ten kings. But who had a kingdom over the ten kings in the first beast of Revelation 13? Who had a kingdom that was even over that kingdom of the ten kings? Well, look in Daniel 7. And we're going to talk about the same guy, the false prophet, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, had a kingdom that was over the kingdom of the ten kings. But what I want to show you is the body of the false prophet. Who is the body of the false prophet? What body does he represent, and what body is he a part of?
A corporate church.
Not the church, but Babylon.
Babylon.
Okay. Because Babylon is a false church. Mm-hmm. It's like the Antichrist is a false prophet. You know, it's a false church. The fourth beast, and 7 and 7, "And this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, terrible and powerful, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. And it brake, and it devoured, and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had ten horns. And I considered the ten horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man." By the way, the eyes in the scriptures represent prophets, eyes, seers, prophets. Okay, this is a prophet. "The eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." The same thing that Revelation 13 says about him: a mouth speaking great things. Now, if you go over to verse 19, "I desire to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was diverse from all of them, exceedingly terrible, whose teeth were of iron, and its nails of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And concerning the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three fell, even that horn that had eyes, and a mouth that spake great things, whose look was more stout than its fellow. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, and prevailed against them." Remember a while back I was talking to you about when Jerusalem was invaded by the beast, Titus, how that the Jews were killing more Jews than the Romans were. That happened. In the cities that were under Rome's dominion and in Jerusalem, Josephus, a historian from that day, is the one that said that. He said the Jews had killed more of their own people, warring against whether they should fight the beast or whether they should accept the beast. That's what they were warring about. In this day, the same thing is going to happen. Christians are going to turn against Christians, as Jesus said, brother against brother. You know, many will stumble and deliver up, or the word is betray, one another. In this day, what's going to be the main argument? Whether to accept the beast or reject the beast? The same argument they had. The same argument.
To be or not to be.
Yeah. Is this beast, you know, is this something that's of God or is it not? You know, that's going to be the big dividing factor, you know. But at any rate, this horn, in verse 20, this horn made war with the saints, verse 21, made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. The whole earth. That means it's going to take it inside of its body. That's what you do when you devour something, right? Take it inside of its body. And it shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And as for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom shall 10 kings arise. And another shall arise after them, notice that, after them. And he shall be different from the former, and he shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, the little horn, the false prophet, the Antichrist, was making war with the saints and overcoming them, killing the saints, right? As also says Revelation 13. Now, go back to Revelation. Let me show you a verse. In Revelation 17 and 18. And the woman who thou sawest, the woman, the harlot, Babylon, okay, is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Reigneth over the kings of the earth. And that word reigneth in the Greek is hath a kingdom. Hath a kingdom. Hath a kingdom over the kings of the earth.
What verse is that?
17, chapter 17, verse 18.
18.
Okay, now, the false prophet was killing Christians, putting them to death, making war against, and killing Christians, right? But who does it say is guilty of the blood of the saints in verse 7? Now, let's see, not verse 7, verse 6. I saw that the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints.
17
and 6, same chapter, verse 6. And I saw that the woman was drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now wait a minute. They said the false prophet was doing it, right? And here it says that the woman is guilty of it. That the woman, the little horn, who had authority amongst the 10 kings, and here it says the woman hath a kingdom over the kings of the earth. And if you go back, he's talking about the 10 kings in verse 12, the 10 kings, okay? This woman has a kingdom over... Isn't this true today? This woman actually has a kingdom. It's a different kind of kingdom, but it did say that the little horn was different from the former horn, didn't it? Okay? Why is it different? Because its kingdom does cover the whole globe. Babylon covers the whole globe. The image of the beast was set up in the plain of Dura, circle, the earth, you know? Babylon covers the globe. This woman has and is going to have authority. This woman is the body of the false prophet, of the Antichrist. The body. Just as Christ has a body, Antichrist has a body. Just as he ministered in his body, Antichrist ministers in his body. Just as Jesus ministered in the body of Christ, and brought forth and manifested an image that had a spirit, so does Antichrist. But brings forth an image that has a spirit. Okay? And this Antichrist, and this false prophet, these deceivers, these false prophets, have a kingdom over, or have a spiritual kingdom over the 10 kings and take authority over the 10 kings.
Well, Babylon is the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right. What verse 5 says?
She's the Antichrist. Babylon is the Antichrist.
Not exactly. That's the body of Antichrist.
The body of Antichrist.
Any church body, for instance, think about any church body, and you're going to come up with two people. You're going to come up with the laity in that church body, and you're going to come up with the hierarchy, the head, the preachers.
Okay.
The Antichrist or the false prophet is the false prophets of Babylon.
Yeah.
See,
okay.
That's the head of the body.
Right? Yeah.
The body is the rest of that woman.
Okay.
But together, they are guilty
of the blood of the saints.
Can we say that the body has to house the spirit?
Right.
Basically?
The spirit that came out of Antichrist's mouth, right? The spirit that he put in the image of the beast, right? That's true.
It's just like a...
And it also says, by the way, that the beast comes from the bottomless pit. So the spirit is not the spirit that comes from heaven, it's the spirit that comes from the pit. Right? Okay? And in other words, if you see a worldly Christian who has a worldly idea of Christ and Christianity, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about Babylon. We're talking about an image that's been recreated there by false teachers. You know what? That, they're in the majority. The worldly Christian. That's what we're talking about. Timing-wise, let's look at the timing of this, because somebody had a question about this the other day, okay? Let's look at the timing for just a minute. In Revelation 17, and 7, the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast. It's a mystery, right? Boy, it's been a mystery, because I've heard a lot of interpretations of these few verses here. And of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss, and go into perdition, and go into destruction, right? And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, they whose name hath not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, how that he was, and he is not, and shall be present. Well, that's a riddle, isn't it? Okay, here's how it can happen. I've never heard this from another man, but I feel like the Holy Spirit showed me this, okay? It says, here is the mind that hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen. Okay, let me tell you the 5 that are fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Those 5 had fallen at this time. 5 are fallen. They had fallen, okay? The one is, that's Rome. Because Rome was in power when this was written. One is, that's Rome. Okay? And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a little while, mine says, but I noticed while was not in the numeric. It's not numeric. While is not numeric. And I looked up the word little, and it means short or brief. A short little time. This one that's coming, that was coming after the Roman beast, that's the one that was in power here, was going to come, but it was only going to be a brief period of time. Okay? Who is it? It's the dragon. The dragon, okay? The dragon who had 7 heads and 10 horns. You know that his ministry only lasted 3.5 years. If you remember Revelation chapter 12, it talks about the 7-head, 10-horned dragon who waited for the man-child and who tried to destroy the woman for 3.5 years while she was protected and fed for 3.5 years. And then, while the dragon stood upon the sand of the sea, in Revelation 13 and 1. Okay. Then there's another beast that comes up and takes over and is given authority by the dragon. The dragon gives his authority to this second beast, who the Bible says was given power to continue for 42 months. Verse 5, 13 and 5. Okay. So this first beast that came on the scene for 3.5 years didn't last long. Very short duration, right? Okay? Now go back to Revelation 17. I'm trying to get you to the timing. That's what I'm trying to get you to, okay? People was asking about the timing of this thing, okay? The timing of the Antichrist. Because everybody's expecting the Antichrist any minute. And he's not going to show up. Not this one that they're talking about, okay? It says,
When he cometh, he must continue a little or brief time, right? And the beast that was and is not is himself also an eighth. Okay? He was and he is not. Well, how did they describe the beast? With the seven heads, right? 17:11. They described this beast. They described this beast as being the eighth, and he was and is not. What was and is not? The seven heads. They were, they are not, but they shall be present. Why? Because they're already here, and the beast devoured. Remember what we read? The beast devoured all those kingdoms that were before him, and they were inside the eighth kingdom. The eighth kingdom is what? The beast. The kingdom of the beast. Okay? So you have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then a revived Rome in the dragon, and the perfect completion of revived Rome is in the beast, right? The revived Roman Empire is in the beast. So they were, they are not, but they shall be present. Isn't that weird? The riddle is solved. See, that's the riddle right there. And he goeth into perdition. No way, it goes in verse 11, it says, is himself also an eighth, and is of the seven. Notice that. Which one, I used to say, which one of the seven, Lord? Until the Lord showed me. All of the seven. It's all of the seven. Because I was looking for somebody who was and is not and is going to be resurrected. You know? I'd heard too much garbage. You know, I had to go back and redo all my thinking on that and just meditate on the Lord. And he gave me his answer. Okay, the timing. The eighth, when does the Antichrist or the false prophet come on the scene? Okay?
Wait, we said it was
1711. Okay, now they're looking for the Antichrist to be revealed at the beginning of the 7 years, aren't they? And everybody's saying that the Antichrist is going to be revealed at the beginning of the 7 years. Comment. But let's go back and look where he comes in at. In 13:11, when he starts making war with the saints, when does the little horn come up among the ten horns? The ten horns being the ten kings, the kings of the earth. When does the little horn come up among them? Here it is, in 13:11. There's another beast coming up out of the earth. But when does it come up? It's the time of the second 42 months, the second 3.5 years. It don't show up at all. It's the first 3.5 years. Now, we know that there's Antichrist still here, right? And we know that false prophets are still here. But when are they going to come into power in order to be able to do what they do in Revelation 13? And the answer is, they don't do that until the second 3.5 years. Unless you believe what the traditions of men have said, and that is that the first beast is the Antichrist. It's not true. Everything it describes that the Antichrist is going to do, the signs, the wonders, you know, the preaching, the teaching, is described in 13:11 on down. This is the Antichrist, who causes people to worship what? The first beast, which is what? The world. You know that's what false religion always does? It gets people into a love affair with the world. To worship in the world, thinking highly of the world. Go down the Babylonish ladder in your mind and think about God and country. Have you ever noticed that the further you go down that ladder, the more they speak about and the more they get their people to worship in the country? Can you imagine the love affair that people are going to have in the world with this great thing, the beast, that's coming down the road? Can you imagine? If they were worshiping their country, think how great the beast is going to be. This is something. Who can make war with the beast? You know, this is the great thing. This is something that's going to look so tremendous that the world is going to fall for it, and the world is going to be, just think it's a wonderful thing. You know?
Pass laws that you can't worship God, you know, like prayer out of school and things like that.
The dragon is relatively mild compared to the beast that comes up in Revelation 13. The dragon has the crowns upon the head instead of upon the horns, the ten kings. The Bible calls them the ten kings. That's still upon the separate kingdom. By the way, I was noticing something the other day. The Lord led me to look at something. And I wish I had an up-to-date almanac, but I don't. I've got another an 82 model. But I got to looking. These seven kingdoms, there's no doubt about these seven kingdoms. They're described in Daniel by the lion with the wings. Now, you can look in your book on Rome and you'll see, or Babylon rather, you'll see the lion with the wings. You know, the leopard, that was Greece. There's no doubt about who these seven heads are in the scripture. There's no doubt. In fact, even across Christianity, they agree on that, who these seven heads are. But today, there's still a representation of those seven heads. Because the beast of today is devouring all of those kingdoms. And I say it's the UN. Because there are people saying it's the European community. Alright? Why? Because it's got ten kings. There's ten kingdoms. Even, and I think there's more than that today. I think actually there's had more people join. But look back in history and see how many times an Antichrist kingdom or a beast kingdom has been ruled by ten heads. Rome was ruled by ten heads, and the Pope came along and sat upon those ten heads and ruled. And what was the Catholic religion? It was a combination of all the pagan religions and Christianity. That's what it was. You know what this end time thing is going to be? A combination of the Christian religions and paganism. That's what, and it sits upon the ten kings. History is repeating itself. They say, because the European community has these ten kingdoms, that's the beast. But what about the Russians? You know, the Russian Republic is set up upon ten kings. Same thing. And it is the Eastern Roman Empire, by the way. They're looking at the Western Roman Empire and they say, that's the ten kings. But what does it say? The kings of the earth. Let me tell you what the names of the kings that they're calling the kings of the earth, the European community. There's no way that any of these kingdoms could be the kings of the earth. They don't have that much authority and power. The kings of the earth. Okay, here's the European community, or the common market as they've called it to me. The ten full members. Belgium, king of the earth. Maybe just that's in Belgium. Denmark, France, maybe. West Germany.
They've got a king.
More so, West Germany's a little more powerful, okay. Greece, nah. Ireland, nah. Italy, no way. Luxembourg, no way. Netherlands, these are kings of the earth. That's the ten kings that they say is going to be kings of the earth. We're running out of time for these people to be kings of the earth. You know who's the kings of the earth? Here's one of them right here. Here's the U.S. foreign aid to nations, counted in millions. All of these countries, this is counted in millions, 284 million. You know who they look to? They bow the knees to the U.S. They humble themselves to the U.S. to get that foreign aid. And there's other countries besides the U.S. that does this. You know who they are? That's the kings of the earth. Not the little countries. Those little countries are begging at this doorstep. Now, watch the seven heads. This is what the Lord led me to discuss. Major international organizations. And I've counted here 11 of them. Out of the 11, three of them are only economic organizations. They're not military, they're not political. Okay? Three of them aside, that leaves eight. One of them was just dissolved. That was the Warsaw Pact. That left seven. Let me tell you the seven. And in these seven, almost every nation rules in these. And these seven organizations which are under the umbrella of guess who? The UN. They're not connected to the UN, but they're all under the umbrella of the UN. Tell you what. The ASEAN, A-F-E-A-N, that's the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. The Commonwealth, you know about Commonwealth? Okay. That's the 44 self-governing nations in the country. The Commonwealth, that's 44 self-governing nations in that one. The European Community, that has the 10 full members and 61 other nations in a little side agreement, okay? The Arab League, okay? I don't know how many is in the Arab League. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, okay? The OAU, the Organization of African Unity. The OAS, Organization of American States. All of these. Notice that we've got the different kinds of people. Africans, the Commonwealth, the British, the Organization of American States, the Asian people, the Arab people. Notice that. These are all still here today. Seven heads are still here today. You know? And they're all under the umbrella of Big Daddy, you know. That's why I say the false prophets, the false teachers, who are telling you that there's this man coming. What else would the devil have you believe than look for somebody? While all the time, the somebody's here looking at us, you know. Now, I agree that we haven't started in the dragon's ministry. It's going to start when the covenant is made. We looked at that last week, how that the 70th week is going to commence when a covenant is made. You know? The one who's going to make that covenant is the dragon. And the one who's going to finish it is the beast. They're really the same entity, okay? It's just that there's a change of government, okay? The seven heads and ten horns is in both of these, but there's going to be a change of... The crowns are going to be taken away from the heads, that's these separate individual groups, and given to the horns, the ten kings. Who's that going to be? Well, I can tell you five of them. Unless something drastic changes, five of them are going to be the five most important, permanent members, China, France, USSR, United Kingdom, and United States. That's five. I don't know who the other five are.
There's all the major countries.
But you know that they're every 2 years there's 10 other members that are temporary members of the UN. But they rotate. Every year there's five in and five out. Every year that happens. Five in, five out. Yeah? I don't know who the other five are. I don't know what kind of an organization is going to happen that's going to cause religion to have a seat in the UN, but I believe you better start looking for it.
That World Council of Churches, maybe?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I think. I think it will be a world conglomeration of, like the Catholic Church, which is exactly what that was, of Christian and pagan religions that's going to have a say, a powerful say, to such an extent that they, because by the way, these people are voted, these temporary members are voted in and voted out. Yeah, China, France, USSR, United Kingdom, United States. And now those nations are kings of the earth.
So United Kingdom, they mean Britain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would that include Canada?
Mm-hmm. No. That's in the Commonwealth. Yeah, they're in the Commonwealth. But that's still an independent nation.
But there are those.
Do what? But you see what I'm talking about? The body of Antichrist, or the body of false prophet, is going to be Babylon. It's going to be religion. It's going to be false religion too. The one who's guilty of the blood of the saints. Yeah, it's always been that way. But you know what? Just as Christ's body is coming to maturity, so is Antichrist's body. So is false prophet's body. See, everybody's coming to maturity. They're manifesting their father, and we're manifesting our father. They're manifesting their image, and we're manifesting, hopefully, by the grace of God, the image of God. Right?
We're developing more power to resist. They're developing more power to capture.
Right. And so there's going to be more and more of a division, right? Mm-hmm. Just like what we say, a brother turns against brother, like Jesus said, you know, and you're going to be hated of all nations. He said, all nations, for my name's sake, you know. So this is going to be a worldwide national.
Here's something in 20, chapter 20, verse 10. Uh-huh. It doesn't say the dragon, but it definitely groups it in three. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 9 says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into a lake of fire and brimstone, where one, the beast, and the false prophet are also. And they were tormented day and night forever and ever. So that's three, you know, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet.
Right. You know, the devil has a body. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 of the same chapter. The devil has a body in the earth. Just like Christ has a body in the earth. Verse 2 says, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Well, and cast him into the abyss and shut it. Remember, the spirit of the beast came out of the abyss, didn't it? But not the body of the beast. The body was on the earth, and the body was destroyed on the earth.
Isn't the abyss just the pit?
The pit, right. And sealed it over him, that he should deceive the nations. There's the body. That is the body of the dragon, right there. The seven heads and 10 horns. That he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years should be finished. So we've got the first beast who has a body, and whose spirit is the spirit from the pit. The dragon, that is. The second beast, who has a body, and whose spirit is the spirit from the pit. Right? We've got the false prophet, who has a body, and his body is Babylon. The Antichrist has an Antichrist body. It's Babylon. Christ has a body. It's his beautiful church. Right? And Antichrist has a body. And Antichrist identifies the head of the body. He spake great things, right? And he had a membership. This is what a lot of people don't understand. Go back to Revelation 13. He has a membership in the first beast of Revelation 13. Even though they identify him separately, he is like the little horn who came up among the 10 horns. He has a membership in the first beast. The first beast, it says, verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? And there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Remember that? What was the mouth that was given to the beast that spoke? Remember, we looked at it. The Antichrist, the little horn, who spake the great things, who wore out the saints, so on and so on. Speaking great things, there it is. See? Identifying the little horn. And blasphemies, and there was given to him authority to continue 42 months. So this beast down in verse 11, this Antichrist, or false prophet beast, that exercises the authority of the first beast, and speaks for the first beast, is the mouth of the first beast. He is a member in. He is a one who speaks for the first beast. This false prophet. From 11 on down talks about the false prophet who speaks in the name of the beast. He says, we speak, hopefully, in the name of our father. He speaks in the name of his father. And the authority
that was given to the beast was the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. He's the body of the dragon. The people of the world.
Mm-hmm.
All sons of the devil.
Don't they know God?
Don't they know? They don't know this.
They've been deceived.
He deceived the nations. That's what it said. Revelation 20 and 3. Deceived the nations.
Remember, they have the Bible, don't know that.
Huh?
They have the Bible, but they're how can they be deceived?
You mean you're talking about these false prophets around here?
Yeah.
When do they believe you, Pete? I mean, I've told this to a lot of people who scoffed at me, you know. They don't believe it. They can't believe it. The only thing they can believe and accept is the traditions of men. They can believe it and accept that.
Okay, I'll take my flag decal off my face.
Go out all your Easter eggs.
Yeah, all my Easter eggs, and put it on your bumper car.
Well, look at Thessalonians. By the way, Pete, you said that was the work of man that we wrote that Babylon Mystery Religion, that book. I want you to know something. When I first read that book, Mary and I, you said what he said about Easter, he said that's just the word of a man. I want you to know, we went and looked in the library and got a bunch of books, and we discovered what he was doing with Christian history. That was history. About the holidays and all that. That is historic.
I said that?
Yeah, you said that when we talk about Easter. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
2
Thessalonians 2. You know, it's true. Men, when they make up doctrines, you can take them with a grain of salt. But that particular thing he was saying there, that was history. I know, because when we first saw it, we were coming out of the Catholic Church, and we questioned this. We went to the library and got a load of books. And we studied up on it. Come find out, God was telling the truth. It's just historic history.
Is that
all the pagan?
Before I read the book, Mystery Babylon?
No, it was after you read the book when you were talking about Easter, you know.
See, people are caught up in the traditions and the religious mess that's going on in the church. Sure. That's Babylon, isn't it, David?
Look at the timing. Look at this timing again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll just see the timing again. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, to the end that you be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet troubled, either by spirit or by word," there it is again, "or by epistle, as from us, that the day of the Lord is just at hand. Let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away comes first." In other words, the Lord is not going to come and gather together his Feast of Ingathering. That's why it uses the word gather, by the way, because the Feast of Ingathering is the end time harvest, right? The Lord is not going to come and gather his people until the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Okay? So this has got to happen before the Lord comes, before he gathers together his elect. There's got to be a falling away. And the man of sin is going to be revealed. Who's the man of sin? Or the man of lawlessness.
Lawlessness
is the correct word.
Yeah.
Lawlessness. You know why? Because further down it talks about the mystery of lawlessness. It's a mystery right now. You know why? Because the man of sin is hidden. The man of lawlessness is hidden. And he's not going to be revealed until the falling away happens. Then he's going to show up. Okay? When we discovered when that was going to happen, it's going to happen in the middle or thereabouts of the tribulation, in the last 3.5 years. Okay, so the first thing that's going to happen is our falling away, the son of perdition is going to be revealed, and then later the Lord is going to gather together his saints. Okay, let's read on down. "He that opposeth and exalts himself," well, that is the spirit of the false prophets, to exalt himself "against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits in the temple of God, setting himself forth as God." He didn't say he claimed to be God. It said he set himself forth as God. There's a difference. Here's the problem. When a person takes the position of God in your life and gives you a doctrine that's contrary to God for you to follow them, they set themselves in the position of God. And that's what the false prophets the deceiver that went out from among us. See, they were talking about somebody who's going to come out of the church because of the falling away. Watch. But he sets himself in the temple of God. Anybody have sanctuary there? The sanctuary of God? Okay. Now, here's what I discovered about this word temple right here. When it's talking about verse 4, the temple of God, he sits in the temple of God. When it's talking about the literal temple, almost always the word Hieron is used, the literal temple, the building, you know, with the outer court, the holy of holies, holy of holies. You know, the word Hieron is used, okay? But this word here is a word naos, N-A-O-S. Paul used this word 9 times, and he never used it for the literal temple. He was always talking about the body of Christ. He was always talking about the people of God, the bride, so on and so forth. He was talking about the house of God. Talking about us. Okay? Right here, he's talking about somebody who is sitting in amongst the disciples, the body, taking the place of God, like the ministers do. When you bring them the truth of God, they reject it. They accept only the traditions of men that they have been taught. Like Jesus, when he came to his own house, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because they received the traditions of men instead. Just like this is being interpreted by the traditions of men. What I got here, I didn't get from another man. I never heard this from another man. I just got this by meditating, and I believe the Lord showed me the truth in it. He says, he sits in the temple of God, saying, self forth is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that which restraineth, to the end that he may be revealed in his own season. What is restraining the revealing of this son of perdition, or this son of lawlessness? What's restraining him? The falling away. Okay? Now watch. For the mystery of lawlessness, that's the same word up as is up in verse 3, the end of verse 3, the man of lawlessness, the same word, okay? The mystery of lawlessness, verse 7, doth already work, he says. Same thing he said about the Antichrist. He's already here, okay? It already works, only there is only one that restraineth. It don't say there is. It says only one that restraineth now, until he be come out of the midst, it says in the numeric. Until he be come out of the midst. What's the restraining he's talking about now? The restraining he's talking about now is the same thing you're talking about in 1 and 2. There's something stopping the Lord from coming. Don't think the Lord's going to come and gather together his elect until what happens? The falling away and the son of perdition is revealed. Okay? So there's something restraining the Lord from coming for his body. You know what that is? It's leaven in the loaf. God is going to get the leaven. He's going to purge the old leaven out of the loaf, and he's coming for a clean loaf. Okay? So it's restraining him from coming. What is the leaven in the loaf? The false teachers, the false doctrine, the son of perdition, the son of lawlessness. He's in there, and he can't be seen. He's like Judas. He was called, by the way, the son of perdition. Judas was amongst them. They didn't know. They weren't prepared. Think now. They were not prepared to see the risen Lord until Judas fell away and came out of the midst. That what happened? The parallel is perfect. The parallel is perfect.
He ate with them every day.
That's right. And he was in the midst of the temple. Not that building, those people. He had to come out of the midst before the Lord could come and gather together. Okay? So the thing that's restraining the Lord from coming is the one that has to come out of the midst. Okay? And they're saying this is the Holy Ghost, and this is this, the rapture, or this is that. That's all from all of it. It's the traditions of men. It's all one. And then shall we reveal the lawless one, whom the Lord shall slay. But then it's when the falling away happens. the lawless one. There he is again, the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus shall slay when the Lord returns. You see, when he's revealed, the Lord's going to come and destroy him. He's revealed by the falling away. He comes out of the midst. See? And Jesus said about that time, he said, brother's going to turn against brother. And many are going to stumble and betray one another. What's to betray? There's got to be somebody in the midst of you to betray you. It's got to be somebody. An apostate, right? Which is what we've seen Antichrist is. He's an apostate. He's not the beast with the seven heads and the ten horns. That's not an apostate. They never knew God. That's the world. They don't know God. We're talking about an apostate Antichrist, son of perdition, right? And he's anti because what the word means is he takes the place of. He is both against, anti means against, but it also means takes the place of. If a man comes with his own doctrine, Jesus said, you won't receive me, and I come in the name of my Father, but another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. If a man comes representing himself, bringing his own doctrine, what is he? He's taking the place of Christ. See what I'm talking about? He's not only against, but he's taking the place of.
I was thought anti against, but
it does. It does. But look it up. It means both.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking. You know, but right. In the Greek, that's just as good too. Taking the place of or instead of, you know.
If you follow a man and his doctrine, and his doctrine is not the doctrine of Christ, then he's taking the place of God. And you're against God. Whom the Lord Jesus shall slay with the spirit of his mouth. There's another spirit. The breath of a spirit. Same word, okay? Of his mouth. And bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. See? So first he's got to come out so the Lord can destroy him. And so the Lord can take his body, which has been cleansed of the iniquity that's in the midst of it. Okay? Can you see that? Does anybody see that?
More
and more, right? It seems like every time we talk about this, we've talked about this several times, you see a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
I do too. Every time I look at it, I see better.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes we're not supposed to explain it. And then we're not supposed to explain it until the Lord gets it in our heart right. You know that? Until we really understand it, not only with our mind, but with our heart. We're not going to, it's not going to come out right. You know, and it's better to talk about other things. You know? You know, it's always better to talk about something you know rather than something you think. You know what I'm talking about? We can all witness to people about things that we know. And you won't make a mistake because that's something that God has put in you. But if you're talking about something that somebody else is teaching you that you don't know in your own heart, you can go wrong. You know, you can be going in your own name, in other words, instead of in the name of the Lord. But it goes on to talk about the same thing. It says that the Lord will bring to naught by the manifestation of his coming. He whose coming is according to the working of Satan. That's that son of perdition. With all power and signs and lying wonders. The same, the little horn, the second beast of Revelation 13, is the one that works with signs and lying wonders. Not the first beast, the second beast. Okay. And the word here, powers and signs and lying wonders, is actually wonders of falsehood. Wonders of falsehood. You know that that's actually happened and brought a bad name to divine healing? It's the people that got on there and worked wonders of falsehood. That's counterfeit. Counterfeit miracle. And that's happened. People who have literally gotten on the TV, for instance, and appeared to work miracles and it was fake. And so, of course, the world thinks it's all fake, but it's not. God's actually doing miracles on there now, you know. I've run into it. I've run into people that were supposedly being slain in the spirit. You know, it was fake. It was good.
I was talking to David about that on the phone. You know, I was eating me a little lunch watching Benny Hinn and today. You know, and I just had to get back on the phone and talk to David and say, explain to me one more time about that, you know. Lining them up and popping them down, you know. And, you know.
Yeah.
The Lord does it. The Lord does it, but men do it too. I found that out. Men do it. And people do it. People who want to be slain in the spirit. You know. They make a whole religion around it. You know. Obviously, the Lord didn't give us an example of going around doing that, zapping everybody. In fact, the ones he did zap were his enemies. Remember in the garden?
Yeah, right.
When they came up to him?
Yeah, yeah.
And they all fell backwards?
Yeah, yeah.
Well?
Absolutely.
It's an important part of R.W. Shambaugh's half-hour preaching or an hour preaching and the rest of the time. All right, line them up. Head them up, move them out. Keep them doggy rolling.
Well,
I
am not saying that the Lord don't do it. He does do it. I'm just saying that when that's all you can do during a service is to go around and zap people, there's something wrong. Especially for the showmanship, you know, point your finger at somebody like that, you know. Because there's a lot of showmanship. You can see that it doesn't glorify the Lord, then why is it happening if it don't glorify the Lord? Well, the Lord's not the only one that does that. The Lord's not the only one that slays people in the spirit. I can tell you who does do it also. I know for a fact Antichrist can do it. And false prophets can do it. And I know he's a false prophet. I had many a testimony the man was a false prophet and he'd do it. He'd zap you out in a second. But he never did do me. Many times he prayed for me, he tried to do it and couldn't do it.
He couldn't me either, David.
Couldn't do it to Mary. Couldn't do it to you. But I've seen him line up rows of people, you know, and just pray over them, you know.
I've seen Sydney and those kids go out. Wham! I've seen all them people out there on that mission go out on that floor. And I stood there one day and him just like that at me. I'm standing there.
You know what I had? I went out. I did not.
They call me an either.
And that was all about that church. You know. Because remember I turned down and the church was...
Well, I prayed for people and they've done it, but I don't do it on purpose anymore. I started out doing it by faith, and it works. And the Lord told me, don't do that by faith. Let me do it if I want to do it. You pray for people, and I'll take care of that. That's what he told me.